Sculptures that persist sometimes for mere seconds are sentient, part of a species that has existed on Tython for millions of years. No contact has ever been made with these sculptures. Indeed, there are those who believe they are simply another unusual quality of the Silent Desert. But Lannery is always ready to believe. Beneath the desert, in deep caverns, they will undertake the first lessons in their journey of learning. They crest a gentle hilltop around midday and turn to look back down upon Bodhi Temple in the distance. The sea shimmers beyond it, constantly moving, yet at peace. The Tho Yor at the temple's center reflects the bright sunlight, and the river snaking inland is a dancing rainbow of light. "When we return, we'll be real Jedi," Lannery says. "Aren't you excited, Dale? Isn't it just thrilling?"
"Yeah," he says.
He grasps her hand and squeezes, but never quite meets her gaze. "Mother and Father will be so proud." Dale shrugs.
"I suppose."
Lannery knows of their parents' hopes, that their journey will imbue Dale with more of the Force, that he will come to know and love it, and that perhaps he is simply a late starter. "It happens," they said. "Sometimes it just takes time and experience." But Lannery also knows that a journeyer has to want it to happen. "Come on," she says. "Race you to that fallen tree." They run down the slope, and soon Bodhi is out of sight behind them. Neither of them comments on the fact. And for a while, as they race each other through long flute grasses and listen to the gentle hum and hoot of the breeze around them, they are young children again. Lannery let the Peacemaker's computer fly them out of Tython's atmosphere, and this gave her time to look down upon the planet that had once been her home. To reach escape velocity, they passed over Tython's largest continent, Tals, and even from this distance, she could see the vast wound in the land that was the Rift. 600 kilometers east of the Rift was Anil Kesh Temple, and it was here, on her great journey, that she had truly found her peace with the Force for the first time. It was also here that her brother's doom had been sealed. But she wished she could look down upon Masera, home to Bodhi, the Temple of the Arts. There, her parents still lived and taught. They mourned the son they had believed dead, but who now seemed to have become an enemy of the Jedi and a danger to everyone. Her parents now knew that he yet lived. Of that she was certain. Master Zhang's comments about their understanding the circumstances made that obvious. But she would have liked to speak to them and tell them to continue mourning their son. Whatever the outcome of her mission, the Dalian Brock they had known and loved was no more. He had shunned his family and let them continue for 9 years, believing he was dead. "Not everyone is lucky enough to finish their great journey," her mother had said to her at Dalian's memorial ritual. It seemed now that luck had little to do with it.
"Little shack," Lannery said.
She laughed bitterly. She'd used the term before to describe Dale, but only to herself, when he got his own way with their parents or infuriated her so much. The ship shuddered with its efforts to tear itself from Tython's pull, and she wondered why leaving did not trouble her equally. She'd spent 4 years believing it was because she was a wanderer, a seeker of knowledge and enlightenment, and the farther she went, the more she knew. A large part of that was true. Her passion in the Force made it so. But she also suspected that in ranging beyond Tython, she had left behind the lingering guilt that Dale's death had been her fault. Where could such feelings reside now? She withdrew the message pod from her pocket and slipped it into the ship's computer. The flat screen snowed, and then a picture faded in from the darkness. Master Dam Powell's face, though this time she seemed more tense than before.
"Lannery, I'll be brief. By the time you view this message, you will have stood before me and other Jedi Masters and been given a mission. What I offer you now, privately, the reason for which I'm sure you will understand, is help. Your ship's computer now contains all we know of your errant brother and his intentions, though, as you will see, that's precious little. A rumor, a warning, a few words of worry from our rangers and spies out in the system. On Kalamar, you should proceed to the city-state of Ruhol Yon, where you will meet a Twi'lek called Tri'Sona in Sesko's tavern. He lives close by. Just ask the tavern's owner. Tri will tell you more. He's not a Jedi. Indeed, many of his interests are on Shikokwa, and on any other occasion you might seek to arrest him rather than take his advice. But he served me well several times before. Greed drives him, and I pay.
She sighed, and looked for a moment incredibly sad.
I hate to go behind the backs of the other Jedi masters in this, because no one on the Council wanted a non-Jedi involved. But I justify doing so in the knowledge that it will help. You'll know more than most that some on the settled worlds don't trust the Jedi, even though perhaps they hold us in awe. Some actively dislike us. A few harbor hate, still nurtured and fresh following the Despot War 12 years ago, and I suspect it is these levels of society where your investigation will take you. Tri might help you pass this mistrust. He knows those levels. But be wary of him. Stay alert. He has his own interests at heart, and only that. He's as dangerous as... well...
Dan Powell smiled.
Almost as dangerous as you.
She touched the corner of her mouth with one finger, a habit Lannery knew well. The master from Anil Kesh was thinking.
I hope your studies go well. I hope you're still learning. I've never seen such potential in anyone. Go well, Lannery Brock, and may the Force go with you.
The message ended and the screen faded to black. The computer ejected the message pod, but Lannery sat for a while in the cockpit, seat turned away from the windows and the amazing views beyond. Kalamar it is, then, she said. Over 4 years spent mostly alone, the habit of talking to herself, or Ironholds, which was almost the same, had grown. But I don't like the idea of a partner. She liked her own company. Sometimes she spoke to the second empty cockpit seat beside her, though it had never been occupied. She swiveled the pilot's seat and looked to the stars. There was already much to absorb and muse upon, and she had the time it would take to reach Kalamar to